of journalism is to question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free of all minds. These are weapons of mass descent.
These are weapons of mass descent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Thursday, May 6, 2010, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.
It just makes me stop and think. Silence is not an option.
A one-hour special on immigration, from the latest attack on Arizona's ethnic studies to a growing boycott movement of the state, plus how the bigotry is spreading to other states and how Congress and the White House are responding.
But I can't help myself, why should I?
This is Uprising.
Good morning and welcome to Uprising. After making national headlines for one repressive new law on undocumented immigrants, the Arizona legislature sent Governor Jan Brewer another bill that passed last Thursday, banning ethnic studies programs in public schools in the state. As of this morning, Brewer has still not given any indication if she will sign or veto the bill and has until May 11th to make a decision. One of the law's primary proponents is Arizona State Superintendent for Public Instruction, Tom Horn, who has been pushing to dissolve ethnic studies since 2007, claiming that the program encourages, quote, ethnic chauvinism, encourages Latinos to rise up and create a new territory out of the southwestern region of the United States, and tries to intimidate conservative teachers and the school system, end of quote. Meanwhile, the state's education department announced school districts to remove anyone with, quote, very heavy accents or ungrammatical speech from the classroom. Many of Arizona's teachers whose first language is Spanish were recruited from Latin America in the 1990s as part of a broad bilingual education program. Meanwhile, here in California, students at UC Berkeley have begun a hunger strike in protest of Arizona's anti-immigrant laws and demanding protection for their ethnic studies department. A little bit later, we'll go to UC Berkeley to speak with one of the organizing students, but first we go to Arizona. And Sean Arce is my guest. He's the director of the Mexican-American Studies Program for the Tucson Unified School District. Welcome to Uprising, Sean.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. So I understand that the Tucson Unified School District is sort of the epicenter of this battle around ethnic studies. Can you tell us what the ethnic studies department has been like at the Tucson Unified School District and why it has attracted the ire of conservatives?
Yes, well, I believe we're the only K-12 Mexican-American and Chicano Studies program in the nation, when we have classes at the high school, middle school, and curriculum integration at the elementary school levels. And I believe it was in 2006 when Dolores Huerta came. We often have her to work with the students to celebrate the work of Sister Chavez, where she stated that Republicans hate Latinos because of the legislation at the time in 2006, and that really upset some of the conservative right and the Republicans, and they've been after us ever since. So, but we still continue to honor the work of Dolores Huerta, Sister Chavez, still collaborate with Dolores. We're not upset with her in any way, shape, or form. But I think they exploited that issue and are using that as a platform to eliminate our course of study of Mexican American studies in particular in Tucson.
Now, it sounds like the Republicans are essentially making or proving Dolores Huerta's point, though. I mean, she said Republicans hate Latinos, and then they proceed to go ahead and attack Latinos.
Yes, I'd like to say prove it otherwise. Mm. You know, all this legislation is bombarding the Latino community. It is bad for the entire state of Arizona. But another reason I'd like to share is the efficacy of our program. We have a program where at the high school levels, our students outperform their peers on the standardized tests. we've eliminated our dropout rate, and as we all well know, in the country, the Latino, the Mexican American dropout rate is the highest out of any racial ethnic group. So we've eliminated that. Our college matriculation rates are hovered around 70% for Latinos at a national average, specifically Mexican Americans. It's about 24%. So,
and what role does the ethnic studies program play in that success of the students?
Well, I think it's the dedication of our teachers. I know it's the cultural, historical, and social relevancy that the students see themselves in the curriculum and become engaged in the educational process, along with their families. Their families, you know, they take the literature home to their parents. They, you know, it's not often where you have high school students eager to come home and talk to their parents about what they learned in class. So we find that really increased academic engagement and the relevancy to the students' lives is what engages the students and is what has shown in our both our qualitative and quantitative studies that leads to academic achievement.
Now, one of the criticisms that is spurring this legislation is that ethnic studies programs can basically generate what they call ethnic chauvinism, whatever that means. I'm not quite sure what it means, but I think it refers to ideas of separatism.
Yep.
You know, is there any? How do you respond to that?
I want to laugh when I hear that. It's our curriculum, our courses of study are based on the concept of rehumanization, based on Paulo Freire's concept of rehumanization in a world where those at the margins, people of color, particularly Latinos in this day and age, are constantly being dehumanized. So I think it's rehumanization. It's the white Anglo students in our courses of study really enjoy the class, and it's beneficial for our students. It's beneficial because they see themselves. These classes act as a mirror for which to validate their history, their cultura. And for white students, Anglo students, it's beneficial because it acts as a window. These courses of study. The growing demographic in this country, it's only beneficial for all people to know about each other. These classes definitely act as bridges of understanding, as cultural, historical bridges of understanding. So when they say ethnic chauvinism, these classes are not just for Latino students. These classes are for all students, and they benefit all students.
And tell us a little bit about the history of Arizona's education system that used to be progressive in the 1990s. And I briefly alluded to the bilingual program that was then outlawed, I understand, when Latin American teachers were essentially recruited to come to Arizona.
Yes. Actually, I'm dropping off my son right now. At the birthplace of bilingual education here in not only in Tucson but in the country. Tucson is the birthplace of bilingual education. So there have been progressive educational models, but I think with the growing the demographic shift taking place, the academic efficacy of some of the programs, such as bilingual education, such as ethnic studies in the schools, it raises a flag for some.
And now, along with this piece of legislation that did pass, the Arizona legislature is still waiting to be signed by Governor Jan Brewer. Alongside that is this announcement that was made that all unified school districts in Arizona had to remove teachers with heavy accents out of the classroom, and teachers that have ungrammatical speech out of the classroom. Who exactly would this be targeting, and where does, you know, is this sort of part and parcel of the same move?
I definitely think it's part of the anti-Mexicano, anti-Chicano, anti-Latino, anti-immigrant sentiment in this state that is so pervasive, and these folks feel really emboldened to push their agenda. It's an election year. Many of them are using Mexicanos as a platform. This this legislation, everything from immigration enforcement to the classroom is really an anti-Mexicano platform, anti-immigrant platform they're using. So I definitely know this one with the prohibiting teachers with an accent is geared at Mexicano, Latino teachers.
I'm speaking with Sean Arce, director of the Mexican American Studies Program for the Tucson Unified School District, and we're talking about the latest attack on immigrants in Arizona that is now in the form of targeting funding for ethnic studies programs like the one that Sean Arce directs. So finally, what is Jan Brewer's position on this, given the incredible amount of national attention that has been paid to the state after the passage of SB 1070, the draconian law targeting undocumented immigrants? Is she under any pressure to veto this bill, or is it looking like she might actually sign it?
You know, I don't want to speculate, but we have been calling, our community has been calling, we've sent hundreds and hundreds of letters, hundreds and hundreds of phone calls, emails, and have really swamped her, asking her to veto this. But given the platform of the Republican Party and the far right here in the state, again, I think she really feels emboldened, and I hope that she will veto it. But the likelihood, I don't want to speculate. But
and just
students here in town are organizing a 24-hour vigil tonight. Mm-hmm. We already have over 300 students, families, parents, community members confirmed. We're going to be reading literature as a symbolic. As symbolic of protest and of resistance. We're going to be reading Chicano literature, progressive educational literature, for 24 hours to demonstrate that this community here in Tucson is going to do everything that we can legally, politically, culturally, spiritually to protect our education and to fight for the education of our youth here in this town.
Finally, Sean Arce, Tom Horn, who is the superintendent of public instruction in Arizona, he's a Republican, and he's essentially putting his weight behind this law, this bill to eliminate funding for ethnic studies programs. Newspaper reports have reported that he believes that the program teaches Latino students that they're oppressed by white people and promotes racial hatred. It's, you know, can you comment on the way in which, and he's also quoting, and other Republican supporters of this are quoting Martin Luther King in the dialogue around this, saying that they want a colorblind society. Can you comment on the sort of Orwellian nature of the conversation right now in Arizona, where you see white conservatives talking about eliminating racial hatred while they seem to be fomenting it?
Yes, first of all, Tom Horn has been invited numerous times by our department, by our students, to come out and dialogue and engage in some sort of dialogue to create some understanding. And he's, over the years, he hasn't done it. So that this, to us, that demonstrates that he's purely, this is a purely a political a platform for him to get elected as the Attorney General of the state.
Well, Sean Arce,
him reappropriating and exploiting the teachings of nonviolence and of social justice of Martin Luther King, again, that is a tactic by the right to really say we live in a post-racial society and to exploit those teachings of nonviolence, of social justice, for their own political means.
Sean Arce, is there a website that you can recommend where listeners can find out more information?
Yes, you could go on, if you type in Tucson Unified School District, and under departments, you can look under the Mexican American Studies Department.
And we can link to that from our website later today as well, actually.
Excellent.
Well, Sean,
we have newsletters, student narratives, a number of things that is very insightful into the workings of the department.
Sean, best of luck to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Sean Arce is the director of the Mexican American Studies program at the Tucson Unified School District, and he's just been talking to us about the attacks on Arizona's ethnic studies programs that come just after Arizona passed SB 1070, which was signed into law by Governor Jan Brewer. Brewer has not yet decided whether she's going to sign this bill. We go now to UC Berkeley, where I spoke yesterday with Kathy Vega, who's a third-year political science major at UC Berkeley and a member of MECHA, which is part of a broad coalition of Latino and Chicano students and workers on the UC Berkeley campus. I asked Kathy Vega to tell us about a hunger strike that is happening currently on the campus of UC Berkeley.
Students here at UC Berkeley are holding a hunger strike with a few demands towards our chancellor. We're demanding that he publicly denounces SB 1070 while also urging other UC chancellors and President Udall of the UC system to also denounce SB 1070, as well as promise security to our ethnic studies department. And we're also demanding that our chancellor, while in standing in solidarity with us, protect other student protesters that are facing suspension charges for protests that were done earlier in the school year, along with a few other demands, all in protection of undocumented students and workers here at UC Berkeley.
Were the protests that were done early in the year related to immigration?
They were not, but a majority of the students that were involved, they were related to budget cuts, but a majority of the students involved were from the Chicano Latino community. So this is our way of protecting our community and standing up for the rights of Chicanos, Latinos, and students of color on our campus.
Now, Kathy, I understand that the demand to have a security for the ethnic studies programs is likely related to the law that the Arizona legislature passed banning certain ethnic studies, banning ethnic studies that fall under a certain category from the public school systems in Arizona.
Yes.
But is ethnic studies under the UC system, has there been any threat to them or anything mentioned by the UC leadership that could, cause fear and that the ethnic studies departments could be cut?
There have not been any direct threats, but we need that security because as many other states are looking at similar legislation, we want to ensure that this type of racism will not spread outside of Arizona, both including our school, including our state, and hopefully inspiring other states to do the same.
And I'm assuming the ethnic studies departments, like all other departments, have been affected by the budget cuts.
Yes.
Kathy Vega, can you tell us how many students are participating in the hunger strike?
Yes, we have 20 students as of right now participating in the hunger strike who have not eaten in, in about 46 to 48 hours.
And how long do they plan to continue their strike?
Until our chancellor, our vice chancellor, sits down and meets with us to discuss our demands.
Where is the strike happening? Are they gathered in any one particular spot on the campus?
Yes, we are all gathered in front of California Hall, which is where the chancellor's office is.
And have you heard any response currently from the chancellor's office, any acknowledgement?
We have. This morning, we had the vice chancellor come out and speak with us. In that discussion, we discussed a possible meeting. It wasn't assured or promised, but we did let him know that as of right now, our strikers will stay there until we have that meeting.
Do you think that these sorts of actions could spread to other UC campuses and other college campuses, particularly around the Arizona SB 1070 law?
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. We have heard of students at other campuses as well putting on demonstrations. We've heard of some high school students in Southern California looking into also implementing hunger strikes, which is another big goal and priority of ours, is to make this a call of action to all students and communities of color around California and around the United States. Clearly, SB 1070 is a racist law that's targeted our communities of color, and it is a time where we have to unite and stand up for our rights and in opposition to these blatant racist attempts.
Kathy Vega, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Kathy Vega is a third-year political science major at UC Berkeley, and she's part of a coalition of Latino and Chicano students and workers on campus that are organizing a major hunger strike happening right now at UC Berkeley. We're going to continue our one-hour special on immigration in Arizona and beyond. After this short break, we'll speak with Dave Zirin, sports correspondent for The Nation, about the growing boycott of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then after today's Subversive Historian, we will continue our discussion looking at the federal level with three live guests. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Michael Slate, host of The Michael Slate Show here on KPFK every Friday morning at 10 a.m. If you're like me and think that there must be a better way of life than under this system, then join me every Friday as we explore everything from politics and world affairs to philosophy, art, music, and science. We'll take you from the halls of the universities to the streets of the cities. We'll also dig into all the expressions of resistance against this system and all the critical questions confronting us. We'll talk with some of the most insightful and often most radical voices on radio. And we'll do all of this in a search for truth so that together we can know the world to change the world. So if you think that there just might be a whole other way we could be and should be living, then tune in to The Michael Slate Show every Friday morning at 10 a.m. right here on KPFK.
This is Uprising. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You're listening to a one-hour special on immigration, Arizona, and beyond. The number of cities, social and civil rights groups, unions, and professional organizations that have joined the boycott of Arizona has grown steadily since the passing of SB 1070. In just under 2 weeks, cities from Oakland, California, to St. Paul, Minnesota, to Boston, Massachusetts, have resolved to pull investments and halt official travel to the state. The governments of Mexico and El Salvador have warned their residents against traveling to Arizona, and the Mexican state of Sonora is pushing for a statewide resolution to boycott. At least 21 conferences and conventions have been canceled by groups ranging from the American Immigration Lawyers Association to Alpha Phi Alpha, the nation's oldest black fraternity. Notable opposition to this movement has come from former Supreme Court Judge Sandra Day O'Connor and California Senator Dianne Feinstein, who have endorsed using the legal system over what they called polarizing boycotts. Not surprisingly, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer is also opposed to a boycott. She wrote in an op-ed on ESPN.com that, quote, "History shows that boycotts backfire and harm innocent people." However, the boycott method is viewed by many as the most effective show of solidarity with immigrants and protest against the law for non-Arizona residents to engage in. The most active front on the boycott of Arizona is against its sports teams. I spoke yesterday with David Zirin, sports correspondent for The Nation magazine.
You've been writing about the Arizona Diamondbacks boycott, and you have said that you don't want to write about them anymore because for you they do not exist. Explain why the Diamondbacks are the right target to boycott in protest of this immigration law.
Hi. Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on. I amended that to say that I will actually write about the Diamondbacks as far as writing about the protests that take place outside of stadiums wherever they play. That I will write about. But as far as the goings-ons of the team, that I'm not going to write about. And I think they make an effective target for two reasons. First and foremost, it allows people in all 50 states practically to really nationalize the issue. I mean, many people throughout the country are very upset about what happened in Arizona with the passage of SB 1070. One of the big slogans on the May Day marches over the last weekend was "Somos Arizona, we are all Arizona." And the idea that the Diamondbacks can just come to your town and then you can actually protest is a way to keep the issue alive in your hometown. And that's important because the Arizona law, as all the mainstream political people are saying, is due to be exported in other states. Now, they also make an effective target because the owner of the Diamondbacks, a gentleman by the name of Ken Kendrick Jr., is one of the big money men bankrollers of the state Republican Party. And as a result of the protests, he had to issue a statement even through his PR flack that he actually is against SB 1070. Now, for a lot of us, that's not even close to good enough. Given his political and financial influence in the state, he could do something much more forceful, like say he would actually stop funding politicians who are for this kind of legislation. And until he does something stronger, I think we should keep the movement alive.
I want to play for you and our listeners an excerpt of the goings-on outside Wrigley Field on April 29th before a game between the Diamondbacks and the Cubs. There was a protest of a few hundred people that were urging Americans to and people from Chicago to not go to the game and to boycott the Diamondbacks because of the Arizona bill. And here is an excerpt of Pastor Jose Landa Verde, who was addressing the crowd.
Illinois is not Arizona. We are here to call nationally boycott Arizona and to send a message to the players, to the Diamonds, that they should take a message back to the governor and to the state at this time, we are now here to send a message very clear that in Illinois, we are going to work to boycott Arizona until this law will not be in effect.
And that is an excerpt of some audio that was taken, that was captured outside Wrigley Field on April 29th. The voice of Pastor Jose Landaverde, who was leading the demonstration. My guest is Dave Zirin, who is a sports correspondent for The Nation magazine, who wrote the article, "No One is Illegal, Boycott the Arizona Diamondbacks." So, Dave, do you think that such a boycott can be effective? Do you think that there is already a lot of momentum behind it?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is that it already is effective. I mean, since the calls to boycott and protest the Arizona Diamondbacks, we've seen just yesterday the announcement of perhaps the most